The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If you go to the expo before the marathon, they got a ton of gear. They got t-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and all of the things that say the name of the marathon or the name of the city and all of the things. You got unlimited designs.
Oh, no. Oh, I can't. I got that marathon runner coming in tonight.
What marathon runner?
You know, this guy, Jean-Paul. I met him when I was working at Pendant, editing a book on running.
But there is one, just one, official marathon jacket. Every marathon puts one out. They change it year to year. And if you run the marathon, it's a nice little display of accomplishment.
Oh, wait, Jean-Paul! Isn't he the guy he overslept at the Olympics 4 years ago, missed the marathon?
The number of people I saw walking around the 27th mile wearing the official marathon jacket, who very clearly did not run the marathon, was irking me, man.
Yeah, that's him.
He's from Trinidad and Tobago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's Trinidadian and Toboggan.
How do you oversleep at the Olympics?
I know.
I mean, it's like the biggest event of your life. You'd think you'd have like 6 alarm clocks paying off little kids in the village to come banging on your door.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's
trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Brewers back at Citi Field today for the rubber match against the Mets. Yesterday, I'm sure you saw, they won a big game. First game of the doubleheader, where the bats came alive again. Freddy Peralta good again. And then the wheels sort of fell off in the second game as Jacob Mizorowski was making his fourth start of the season for the Brewers. And he had a tough time. You know the thing that jumped out to me as I'm watching the game, Gabe, and maybe you saw this as well? He was going deep in the pitch clock. I don't know if he was trying to mess with the timing of Mets hitters, but a couple of times he could have been called for a pitch violation. They didn't. And then finally he gets flagged for one. And I thought, huh, that's not something I'd noticed about Mizorowski in the previous starts.
I think, especially in retrospect, something was just a little off. And so then there's some indecisiveness. You hold on to the ball a little bit longer. And again, the velo is down just a little bit, just a tick, about a mile and a half, you know, average on his fastball compared to his previous start. Fewest swing and misses, I believe, in the four starts he's now made. So something was just a hair off in him. And again, it's going to happen. This kid is electric. He's entertaining. But as we said when he was called up, he is still raw. Mm-hmm. Still a lot of work that needs to be done. And every once in a while, especially when you're facing a good... Again, I know the Mets haven't played well recently. That's a really good lineup. That's a really good lineup with the way that some of those guys are swinging the bat throughout the course of the season. And it's going to happen from time to time.
How do you scout him as a hitter? What would you do? Because like when I would scout a D lineman, I would look at hand placement. I would look at lean. I would look at tendencies. Do they watch film on him and then go into the batting cage and turn the jugs up to 102 and then try to get that timing down?
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, but also it's the, okay, now when's that off-speed stuff coming so you can kind of look for it? And again, that's going to be done in your scouting reports of,
so
hey, in this count, you know, just like in, hey, when it's 3rd and 7, they like to play this coverage.
Yeah.
When it's 1 and 2, he likes to throw this pitch.
Well, and I didn't go through the game day. I can. I don't know what he threw on the grand slam and then the, because he gave up back-to-back jacks. Nimmo had the grand slam and then he gave up a home run right after that as well. I don't know what he threw on both of those pitches. I would love to go back and see. But after the game, guys, he actually said, and they loved his composure, right? After the game, the way he handled the tough outing. He said, I threw good pitches. They hit them plain and simple as that. Mizorowski said, you're facing the best of the best. They're getting paid too. But then he said this, guys. His delivery was slightly out of whack, starting with his finger positioning on the baseball. My fingers were just a little too far on the right side of the ball. The ball spun a little differently than what I'm used to. Nothing crazy. The fact that right after the game, and again, kudos to, credit to the Brewers pitching coaches who are all on top of this stuff. They could tell that this, like you just said, even something as simple as the spacing of his fingers was just a little off, and it was throwing off the way that the ball was coming into the strike zone, and it contributed to a few of the issues that he had. And so the good news is, if you know what the issue is, you can correct it immediately, right? He's not throwing his arms up in the air going, I don't know. I don't know why it didn't work out. And that, to me, gives me confidence that the next time he'll go out, he will continue to tweak, evolve, and still be this dependable flamethrower.
Yeah, if you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, he wasn't going to go undefeated. No. He wasn't going to take, you know, no-hitters into the fifth inning every time around. It's, I mean, think about Paul Skeens. He beat Paul Skeens because the Brewers, you know, scored four runs on Skeens. Like, Skeens is one of the best in baseball.
Yeah.
Happens to everybody.
That's nice that he has that kind of feel and...
Oh, yeah, and Chris Hook, him and Hook were talking in the dugout quite a bit. Yeah. The pitching coach for the Brewers, Chris Hook.
Because as a player, you know, you learn that early on. So if I had to block a DN by myself, I knew, because I'm outsized, I knew my technique had to be flawless.
Mm-hmm.
And when you nail your technique, it's like when you hit a home run and you don't feel anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can also feel when you bad swing and a miss. You're like, oh boy, I overstepped. This is not going to be good.
Yeah. So for whatever reason, you know, every once in a while, it happens in every sport. For whatever reason, you just don't feel it that day. And unfortunately,
it's the thing you have to worry about with him is confidence as a young guy.
I don't think so.
Doesn't seem like it. No? He seems pretty confident. The other thing I wanted to ask
when you throw 102.
Yeah.
When you know at the end of the day, even if you're a little off, I can still reach back and throw 102.
Yeah,
I think that
to puff
helps.
Your chest out about. Is Eric Haas going to be his designated catcher? Does it seem that way?
I don't know. I don't think so. So, I mean, so he's now split. It just happened where the last start was a day game. They wanted to give him, you know, give off Contreras, so it ended up being Haas. And then yesterday, second game of doubleheader, Contreras wasn't going to catch all 18 innings.
All right, so let's spin it forward for you guys, because you probably saw Clayton Kershaw last night with the 3,000 career strikeouts. And Gabe told us something this morning in our production meeting that got me giddy for last week. You thought that the Miz and Skeens going against each other last time in AmFam Field was cool. Gabe, set it up. What do we got coming to AmFam Field this next coming week?
Tuesday nights, Miz versus Kershaw.
Another packed house.
Probably.
But that's another lineup. That's another lineup. It's not going to be the Pirates.
So it's a little bit better than what the Pirates have to offer.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Chewy comes in Wednesday morning and he's like, but it's the Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's the Dodgers.
He's thrown out a big deal. You know? The hell?
I mean, who do they have?
Yeah.
Los Angeles Dodgers.
And I don't want to undersell this, guys. Like, this is a big freaking deal for Milwaukee. The fact that this guy is must-see TV, the fact that you have him going up against some of the best pitchers in baseball, the fact that you can buy a ticket to witness it live, this feels, I don't know, it feels like a really cool time to be a fan of the Milwaukee Brewers. Am I overstating something regarding this matchup?
No. I mean, and I believe it's going to be his first start on national television. That game's going to be on TBS.
Oh, wow, nice.
It's going to be the TBS game of the week on Tuesday night, Brewers-Dodgers.
And it sounds like the kid loves it.
Yeah.
You know, I played with guys that would shy away from it. You know, I've always told you about receivers that, hey, they can play
at home,
but you get on the road and it's a little violent, and they're like, I'm good with being the third read.
If you don't get to me, you don't get to me.
Yeah.
We did take a look at Potawatomi Sportsbook just to see if yesterday's outing changed the odds for our guy Mizorowski at all for National League Rookie of the Year. Told you to try to jump on that because the odds have only gotten tougher and tougher. Mizorowski -143. So no. I got in at +170, +170. That was 1 week ago before that start. I don't know that you're going to see plus odds unless he puts together a few real rough outings. You might see it shift a little bit, but we'll be watching this all season long.
The guy in Chicago is not a rookie, though, right?
Who? Pete Carl Armstrong?
Yeah.
No, he is not a rookie.
Okay. He's young, but he's not
a rookie. He's not a rookie. Okay. No, he's been around.
Are you saying for rookie of the year? I believe he's starting in center field, though, when they announced the All-Star starters yesterday.
Yeah, him and Kyle Tucker.
Okay.
No Brewers, though, but we still hope that there will be some guys who will make the All-Star team, including Freddie Peralta et al. The open road is calling your name, and the ride begins at Potawatomi Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. This July, you could burn some major rubber on the custom Harley-Davidson of your dreams in the Fire Up Your Fantasy motorcycle giveaway. Play with your rewards card all July for entries. Thursday, drawings for extra cash and reward play. It's Fire Up Your Fantasy, only at Potawatomi. More information available online. Must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Home is a journey. Look, sometimes it's a quick journey, sometimes you take a little bit of time, but either way, it should always be exciting. The prospect of something new. The WeSell Group at Keller Williams understands that. They're not just about closing deals, they're about building relationships and helping you find the right fit. Rob and Nick have been incredibly patient with our search, informative and available throughout. It is so clear their passion is working with people. So whether you're ready to move right now, you're just starting to look, or you're thinking about selling, the WeSell Group is on the journey with you every step of the way. Start your journey today at the WeSell.com. I'm sorry, WeSell.kw.com. That's WeSell.kw.com.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got today?
List 8 things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans. 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. Today, we are looking for the top 8 three-point shooters in Bucks history. Most three-point field goals made in Bucks history. The top 8.
First one's easy.
Most field goals made?
Most three-point field goals made.
Three-point field goals made. Threes. So Ray Allen, right?
Yeah, number one.
Ray Allen is number 2 on the list. Oh. 1,051.
How long has a three-point line been around?
What?
80s? What? It's just a question. Okay, go Michael Redd.
Michael Redd, number 3 on the list, 1,003.
Pat Connaughton
is number 5 on the list, 585.
Is there a certain number you had to shoot in order to be on this
list? Well, it's just made. It's not percentage, it's how many you've made. Three-point makes.
Go Big Dog.
Glenn Robinson is number 9 on the list, so he is just outside. 494 career three-point made. Big Dog is out.
I think we talked about this guy the other day because we talked about how he reinvented his game. I think Brook Lopez is on the list.
Brook Lopez, number 4 on the list. 826 career threes made for the Bucks.
Can you reset the list, please?
Ray Allen is 2. Michael Redd is 3. Brook Lopez is 4. Pat Connaughton is 5.
I don't think like a DiVincenzo is on this list. I don't
I'm pissed off.
For number 1?
Because you mentioned Dante DiVincenzo you mentioned number 1.
Well, sure, but I'm just going through guys.
Yeah, no, I'm just upset. I am so incredibly upset. Cuz this guy's made more threes and it's not even close.
Well, sure, I mean, again, obviously it's escaping us at this point, the leader in threes. I thought Ray Allen was going to be number 1, but
it's not even close. This is so disappointing. I might quit. This is how upset
it's
I
his
am.
Guy.
Promise?
It's his, hey, Jen, it's his main guy.
I'm just.
Who he's very sad.
His main guy.
Main guy.
Who he's very sad.
Yes.
Middleton?
There you
Chris go. Chris Middleton is number 1 on this list, you dip bleeps. Yes. You mother bleeping dip bleeps. Dante DiVincenzo before Chris Middleton.
Why do you love him so much?
It makes me so
happy. I mean, he was great, but you
Because he is so great, and you guys point out why I love him. Because nobody actually appreciates him, despite him being one of the greatest players in this franchise's history.
Number retired?
Yes. Without a doubt. 22 should be in the rafters.
Dante DiVincenzo.
I'm just saying, I'm doing the snapshots in my brain of guys I can see making threes for the Milwaukee Bucks.
And Dante came into your mind before Chris?
So here's the thing about Middleton. He just sort of flew under the radar,
yeah,
right?
Out of sight, out of mind.
I don't know if it's the Giannis element where he was just so, like, big. I can't explain
it. He scored 40 points in a finals game.
Yeah, I remember. I was.
No, you don't. That's the problem.
No, but this wasn't about who scored 40 points in a finals game. I guess I didn't really think about body of work when it came to Chris Middleton and three-point shooting.
Dante's made 250, nowhere near the top 10.
Well, but he also wasn't on the team as long either. All right. So set the list again so that we can figure out where we need to fill in the blanks.
Got the top five. Chris, Ray, Red, Lopez, Connaughton. Need 6, 7, and 8.
Oh! What about Giannis?
Giannis is number 7. 542 career made threes.
So why didn't you go nuts at that?
And 8. Because he's not the franchise leader by over 300.
No. Fair.
You know how Chewy loves, like, drama? I love it when we finally unnerve him. Because he's so level-headed. He's so even-keeled. Save the occasional rant on... What was the thing you ranted? Encore.
Encore?
Last week. Oh, Save the occasional rant. He's just right here. But, like, every once in a while, we say something so egregious that it just unravels
Chris
him.
Chris Middleton.
I don't know. This is tough.
Yeah, I will tell you, 8 is very hard. I thought you guys had a really good chance at 1 through 7, but no, 0% chance at number 8.
Well, since I know Dante DiVincenzo is not on the list.
Yeah, you kind of got a freebie there.
All right, let's open it up to the callers. 800-990-3776. We'll open it up to the callers. Most three-pointers made?
Most three-pointers made in percentage. Bucks history, correct.
Bucks history, 800-990-3776. I cannot see the call line today. Usually there's a little icon, and I am not.
Help us out, Will the Thrill.
Oh, by the way, he is he's workshopping nicknames for our new full-time producer, Will. We should also take a moment to congratulate Will.
Well, why don't you just call him Willie? We had Ashy, we got Joshy.
He doesn't look like a Willie.
And now he's Willie.
He doesn't look like a Willie.
Billy? Huh? You want to call him Billy?
Folks on the Talkin' Checks chain think he's my long-lost child. So.
You have some explaining to do later today at home?
Joe in Milwaukee. You think I'd remember that? Joe in Milwaukee, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Sure, because when you look up in the rafters, you see Brian Winters up there.
Yeah, but Brian Winters did not make a lot of three-point field goals.
Oh!
He is not even in the top 10.
Fooled by the rafters.
Well, then it was Craig Hodges.
Also incorrect. He got a freebie because it was incorrect.
800-990-3776. Looking for callers to play top 8 at 8. Looking for the three-pointers made. Top 8 three-pointers made in Bucks history. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Brad in Whitewater. You're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Turn your radio down, Brad, and we will take your guess.
All right. I'm going to say Brandon Jennings.
Brandon Jennings, number 6
Whoa.
On the list. 554 Damn. Career threes made for Brandon, leaving us with number 8.
This is the tough one.
This is a tough one.
Okay.
This is very tough.
You have a guess, Brad? Brad dropped off. Yes? No, he did. Let's go out to Mitch in Oak Creek. Mitch, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
I think I got it.
All right.
Jack Sikma.
Jack Sikma is incorrect. Incorrect.
I love Jack Sikma. Oh. Great hair.
Let's go out to Hugh in Greenfield. Hugh, just one answer left on our top 8 at 8 list. Can you complete it for us this morning?
What about Ersan Ilyasova?
Ersan Ilyasova.
Oh, really?
Mr. Broken Nose himself.
Yep,
couple different stints with the Bucks.
Mask
made
action.
536 career threes.
Good
he
call.
Is number 8 on the list.
Good list.
Bobby Portis, by the way, is 10, so he will have, with his new contract, he'll probably end up passing Ersan.
How many does he have?
467.
Okay. 467 to how many did Ersan have?
536.
So 70?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a season?
Yeah, that'll be a season.
Okay.
Yeah. So Bobby will replace Ersan.
Hugh, our big winner this morning on Top 8 at 8. Good list from our guy Gabe, even though it made him real mad. Well, you have
Dante
to know.
DiVincenzo.
You have to know when we're going to, like, struggle with some of these lists. Like, and we did a pretty good job.
Well, I just thought that, you know, Chris Middleton being, you know, one of the greatest players in franchise history would have been easily a name that came to your mind before something like Dante DiVincenzo. That's all I'm saying.
I'm doing the thing that my husband does.
He's fine.
He doesn't want to look at me anymore. He puts something between physically between the two of us. I'm holding up my reed. So that
sounds like Gabe needs to go home and get a little... He's been pretty pent up this week. That's two rants in 1 week.
It's not my
fault. Let's lose a year.
Monday, sure, but today is not my fault. I blame Jen.
Fair.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, because if you're looking for windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. Pella Experience Center lets you feel, see, open, close, and compare dozens of windows and door options from 7 different Pella lines side by side. What's great is they have all these different customizable options, A, so you know it's going to look great in your home, and B, it's going to be affordable within your home as well. So stop by soon, because if you order by July 31st, 0% interest for up to 5 years. That's right. I'm going to say it again. 0% interest at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions do apply. So visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule that free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. And when you go to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, tell them Gabe Neitzel sent you.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN. Too hard when really it's closer than it
is too far. Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and we have a special guest in studio with us this morning. Maybe you've been following his journey, a local Wisconsin kid with an unorthodox path to the NFL. It's Mitch Van Vorn, who, and we were just going over this here in the studio. Mitch grew up in Peshtigo, Wisconsin, went to Marquette, ran track at Marquette, transferred to St. Norbert, played football at St. Norbert, and also ran track. And then this offseason gets a call from the Cleveland Browns to be in their rookie camp, and then went to the Seattle Seahawks, was signed for 10 days, ultimately got released, but still is on this NFL journey. And I got to tell you, when you think of ways that guys get to the league, yours is a little bit different than a lot of people. So when did the idea of football become a reality for you, a guy who clearly did track in college?
Yeah, so it was always a dream of mine. It was always in the back of my head, but I don't think it really became like a real idea until probably my junior, senior year at Marquette. I mean, with COVID, they gave us those extra semesters of eligibility, so it kind of like bright, like it was a light bulb moment that, oh, maybe I can go try it out after I'm done running, and then you know, every track meet I went to, like, everyone's like, hey, why are you here instead of playing football? So it's kind of just, like, reaffirming that, you know, I should go do it. And then, you know, after my senior year at Marquette, I accomplished, you know, some pretty good stuff there. And I was like, you know what, I'm only this age once, so I might as well go try to do it.
Well, I love it when people are like, I did some pretty cool things. Tell our loyal listeners what you did when you were at Marquette.
Yeah, so I qualified for regionals, and I have Marquette's school record in the 400 hurdles, and then I think I'm number 4 in the 400 indoor, and then I have some top 10 marks in, like, the 600, open 4, and the 4x4.
So how'd they find you? And what were the teams that came in to work you out, obviously?
Yeah, so after my year at St. Norbert, you know, I went up to Marquette, Michigan to train for 3 months. There's a Advantage Sport Training up there. Dustin Branch, he has got a good program. He's like one of those guys that finds those diamond in the rough guys and make them big. So I went up there, trained with him, and then they got me into the CGS All-Star Bowl down in Texas in January. And then that was a lot of, like, smaller D1 guys or, like, guys kind of on the bubble of late-round draft picks, undrafted free agents. And then, you know, I went there. I was one of the only D3 guys there and then, you know, did pretty good down there. And I think that caught the attention of a lot of teams.
So you're going through this process. You just decided, oh, yeah, I'll give football a try? Like, I mean, it's supposed to be harder than that. Why did you go? Was it more than just people telling you you had to do it? Obviously, it's something you wanted to do, but what was the motivation other than, hey, people are telling me I should be playing football?
Well, and just in case you're not watching on the stream, of course, you can watch this interview on the YouTube stream at ESPN Milwaukee. Mitch is sitting next to us. He's 6'5". He's 245 pounds, so there was that element, right, that was sort of like...
Yeah, but I mean, compared to the big guy, I mean, he's still got some, you know, he's got some weight he could put on. Maybe, Chewy, you can work him out in the weight
room. Yeah, but he started as a track guy. I never started as a track guy.
Yeah, I mean, when I told a lot of people, like, this is what I was kind of going for, they're kind of just like, oh, cool, like, go chase your dream. But I think a lot of people thought I was joking. But, you know, I have a good support system around me. Like, my parents are really supportive, and I have a couple of close friends that, you know, always believed in me. But, yeah, you know, I always loved football. Like, in high school, I think that was my best sport. But I went from a small school, and, like, we ran the single wing my last 2 years as a wide receiver, tight end. It's tough to get a lot of looks.
Yeah.
Especially when we lost in the first round of the playoffs every year. And, you know, track's just a numbers game. So, like, it's either you got that time or you don't. So I wouldn't say it's easier to get a Division I scholarship doing that, but I think it's coming from a small school. It's just if you're fast, you're fast. So it's I you know, and then I fell in love with Marquette, so I kind of just went that journey to keep my athletic career going.
Mitch Van Vorn joining us in studio now, a three-sport athlete in high school here in Wisconsin, ran track and field, and then now has gotten to sniff, got an opportunity to play in the NFL. What was that call like, by the way? You get the call from the Cleveland Browns to be in their rookie minicamp. Take us into that moment. What emotions were you feeling when you were receiving that news?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, the day of the draft, like nothing happened, and my agent said there's a couple teams that reached out, but nothing really said, and then the day went by, and it was kind of just like, oh, there's all this traction, now what's going to happen? But, you know, just had faith that my abilities can play at that level and just, you know, trusted God and his plan. And then Monday morning came, and they called, and I got a spot in there. And, you know, I just knew that I'd keep going and chase this opportunity because a lot of people aren't in the place that I am right now. So, you know, guys, take advantage of it.
So you go to Seattle. John Schneider, GM, good friend of mine, they release you because of a numbers game.
Yeah.
John Schneider's a straight shooter. If he tells you to stay by the phone, you know, guys get hurt. Happens all the time, all around the league. Everyone talks. You'll get another shot. You'll get another shot. But my advice to you would, as a young player who played at a small Division III school, know your stuff and do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're looking for a scout team guy to play corner or something, jump up and go in there. They'll throw you out, you know, and your focus should be just special teams. That should be your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your goal is special teams, and they take guys that go whistle to whistle. And we all watch Hard Knocks, right? There's a guy every single year that makes it because he busts his ass, and that's what they love. So that's my nickel's worth of free advice.
Papa Chew over here.
I appreciate it.
I mean, Jen, clumped. You do stories all the time. You love stories like this. You know, you love it. And but that's what they look for, you know. And I know Johnny looks for it, you know, because he was a young buck in Green Bay as an intern when I was there, and he started out the same way. Where did he go to school? We researched him the other day.
Oh, yeah, a small
school.
1 year. We looked at that.
And then he writes Ron Wolf a letter and says, can I come in as an intern?
All right, well, I guess we're not putting that in reach.
And Ron Wolf says, sure, and look at him now. So don't give up on your dream.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
What's the strength of your game?
Probably my size and speed combined. You know, I feel a lot of guys, you know, I mean, obviously you can like work out and get faster on the track and get more speed, but I think it's just a natural ability. And then, you know, at my size, a lot of guys don't have that kind of movement.
Yeah, speed kills. I've heard that. Never had it.
St. Thomas is where John Schneider went to school, just to do a little housekeeping there. All right, give us your best story so far. What is the best thing that has happened to you on this journey where you were like, whatever happens, I've had this opportunity, I had this happen to me. What is the thing that stands out that pops in your brain?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. I mean, I was the only Division III person who signed an NFL contract this year, so I think that really stands out and shows, you know, I mean, not a lot of us get that opportunity to do that. So I think it's just a little bit of looking back and, like, being grateful that I'm here, but also, you know, keep going and keep grinding because, you know, when I got there at first, it's like there's a little doubt back here. I'd come in from D3s, like, can I compete with these guys? But when I was at the Browns, I was like, oh, I'm definitely able to compete, and I'm athletically, like, up to these standards. But I was like, maybe it's just because these guys are all rookies. You never know. And then when I was out in Seattle, I was like the same thing. It's like, I got the ability to do it. I just need an opportunity to show that I can stay there.
Mitch Van Vorn joining us here in studio with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All right. So you get an, let's say you get another opportunity, like Chewy is Miss Cleo-ing over here. Call me now. You get another opportunity. What is your goal? What do you set for yourself when you go into these opportunities? What do you say? If I do this, it will be considered a success.
You know, probably just give my best effort. I mean, every snap, every play in practice is like another job opportunity. So, you know, just taking advantage of everything that I got. You know, out in Seattle, I was only there for 10 days, so it wasn't the longest stint. But, you know, I think I took a lot of advantage of that, and I've learned a lot even in that time period. So just, you know, keep putting my next foot forward and, you know, trusting the plan.
You mentioned, obviously, being a D3 guy, the only one to get a contract this year. Seems like a lot of guys from Wisconsin. If D3 guys get opportunities, they're going to Wisconsin schools, they're from Wisconsin. Why do you think that is?
I mean, I think there's a lot of powerhouses here. And, you know, we only have Madison as a Division I school. So it's either like you don't go to Madison or you go to a D3 school. So I think a lot of talent is here. And then, you know, the WEAC schools, they're pretty strong. So they get a lot of like guys who go D1 and then come back to D3. So I think they just have a lot of opportunity there.
Last thing for you before we let you go, Mitch, what is the hardest thing? You know, Chewy always is reminding us you're playing tight end. Mm-hmm. Chewy always says that that's the toughest position outside of quarterback on the field. Now, that could be biased because he played a little tight end. What is the hardest thing about making this leap into this league?
Yeah, I think it's just the playbook. I mean, it's a lot getting thrown at you at once. You have to learn a lot in a short period of time. And, you know, coming from D3, our playbook wasn't as intensive. So I think just learning that. But I know, I mean, once you study it and once you get after it, it kind of comes with that. You just got to get into it and figure it out.
Pasquale's still there?
I'm not 100% sure.
In St. Norberg's? In De Pere?
What? Who?
Is it a bar?
No, it's a sub shop.
Oh.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so, no.
Damn it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going
to have you bring some back.
You're asking about a bar. Yeah. So outlandish.
No, that's Nicky's. I'm sure you've been to Nicky's.
I've never been, but I heard a couple people like it.
Okay. Does our guy Mitch look like a guy who's hanging out?
Nah, not so much.
He's in the playbook, man. He's
Jen, this is a guy that went to the combine, ran a 4.9, and went to Hooters. So.
What's your 40 time?
You don't have to say. No, you're good. A little bit faster than I was.
Mitch Van Vorn, a Wisconsin guy who has had an opportunity to play in the NFL. Chewy is confident he'll get another opportunity. Look, we're going to be following your story, dude. So thank you for taking the time, coming in with us this morning, sharing your story with our loyal listeners. It is a thrill to cheer you on and watch your journey unfold. Mitch Van Vorn hanging out here with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll take a break. Roll on right after this.
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. So what does that mean? Maybe you're tired, maybe you're groggy, you just don't feel like yourself. Well, those could all be signs of low testosterone. And Mentality can help you. So book your appointment today, lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments, lowtusa.com.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Great to have Mitch Van Vorn hop into studio with us. You know, when I asked him, hey, when are you going to be around? He gave me the week, this week he was going to be around. I don't know that he's around, gang. Did it sound like he's living in Green Bay and maybe pop down here?
Yeah, I mean,
chit-chat
he's
with us?
Living in Green Bay. Don't know if he happened to come down here. Yeah, maybe woke up early to
Make the drive,
hang out with Chew.
I mean, come on. That pep talk that Papa Chew gave him, I got goosebumps during Papa Chew's little chit chat there. Like, let's just back up for 1 second. You and me and Will and Joshy, we sit with Chew every day, right? So mm-hmm. He's like, eh.
I would have the same reaction.
Thank you. I'm glad you appreciate my accuracy. But for this kid, right, mm-hmm. who is now chasing an NFL dream, to sit across from Mark Chmura, Super Bowl champ, and have you give him advice, encouragement on what you see in him and how he could—that's invaluable, man. Like, I know you don't realize it, but like
the kid had no hell. He had no idea who the hell I was. No, he's a nice kid.
He's kind of young. But he probably missed the Super Bowl.
That was me 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. A little different path, but you can see it. And I mean, luck has so much to do with it. Seattle loses a tight end or two in camp, and all of a sudden, hey, let's. That's the tough thing about it. Might not happen till the second week of camp, and you got to work out like that call's coming tomorrow. That's the tough thing, but you never know. And I tell you guys a story. I was this far from being cut, But you know what? Luck. There's so much luck, fate, whatever you want to call it. You never know. And he's a nice kid, and he sounds like he's a hard worker. I just hope he gets that shot, and I think he will.
Well, and I loved what you said about John Schneider, and it matters, like, how these GMs are, their makeup. And you're saying him being a straight shooter and telling Mitch Van Vorn, who joined us here in studio just a few moments ago, to stay by his phone, you're saying that matters because he's not going to sell this kid a bill of goods.
Because there are so many GMs and front office personnel that will BS you. But John's not going to sit there and go, hey, stay by your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a livelihood. Because he knows the work that it takes to, when you tell a kid to stay by your phone, just think of all the work he's got to do in the next month and a half or month or whatever it is. He's not going to do that to him. It wouldn't be fair to the kid.
And there's more opportunity now than ever with the expanded practice squad.
Yeah.
So he's got an opportunity. If he gets out there, gets that call, there's, you know.
Sure.
He's it's not just making that 53. It's can you be a part of that 16 that's also on the practice squad now?
And he's got what they like. They like size and they like speed, you know. So I hope he gets a shot.
Well, don't forget the UFL is another venue.
Sure.
Obviously, he is shooting for the stars, mm-hmm. and we hope that he achieves his dream of getting to the NFL. But the UFL is obviously another place where guys who are sort of on that cusp, who are sort of on the peripheral, can also get experience, get on the field, get reps, and also grow their game. So again, this is not the end of the road for this young man. Very cool to chat with him. And again, a Wisconsin kid, and Wisconsin loves their own, right? We talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you grew up in this state, you got fans for life.
Well, unless you stab us in the back.
Is this a Tyrese Halliburton thing?
No, it was more of a Craig Council thing, but you know.
Oh.
Hey. I mean, Tyrese, but he couldn't control where he went. He got drafted by the Pacers. Like, it wasn't Tyrese's choice to go there. It was Craig's choice to go to Chicago. So there's more Craig Council.
When is the next Cubs Brewers series?
End of the month, I believe.
End of July.
Yeah.
After the All-Star break.
So stubborn and a grudge holder. Okay.
You hold grudges.
Wait, don't those go hand in hand?
I guess.
Somebody crosses you, they're out. They're out.
Like they're the opposite. They're just the same coin. It's just you
fair.
Pull it over.
Fair.
Everybody have a very happy and safe 4th of July. We will be back
Jen,
with you.
Safe 4th of July.
No fireworks, no sparklers for the babies. Ha! Huh? Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee.
Great out on the roads. We've got a little bit of a backup on southbound 43, the Rock Freeway, from Highway 100 to the county line. And a little bit of a backup northbound 41 right around the North Avenue curve, and then southbound from about between Silver Spring and Hampton. Other than that, everything's been looking wonderful this morning. Traffic is brought to you by the Neal Group. John Neal and his team know how to minimize your taxes to keep more money in your pocket. Visit nealgroup.net to learn more. That's nealgroup.net. And check in the TMJ4 Storm Team forecast. Today, partly cloudy skies, a few afternoon pop-up storms, a high of 83 at the lakefront, 88 inland. And then tonight, isolated showers or storms, partly cloudy with a low of 68. From the WTMJ Traffic Center, I'm Debbie Lazaga on